This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Number three, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. Bart Scott, you know what that means. It's the power hour. That was a good gong today. Definitely felt
You leaned into that.
Yeah, I said it with my chest. Yeah,
you must have had your matcha today.
I did. Definitely did. Coming off another big win by the Knicks last night in the preseason, too.
Really?
You know, we got to get them while we can. Really? We got to get them while we can.
Kellen Hayes, no Cade Cunningham.
No one played.
Pump your
brakes. No one played for your team.
Julius Randle paid super hard. Like, man, this is just supposed to be exhibition. Yeah. That's some of the young guys get. This don't go on a permanent stat.
This is so Tibbs, too, right? Like, it's like preseason game. The Pistons don't have any of their starters. Like, nobody, like, it's all their bench guys.
Julius, go out and dominate the Bulls.
And we're going 30 minutes and. But they want to play.
You got to be able to. You got to be able to destroy the bums.
I refuse to apologize. Take dubs while you can take dubs. No, you got to learn how to win. The only way to learn how to win is by winning.
Yeah, Kellyanne will be
take that.
Next time you see him in the regular season, it'll be Kellyanne Hayes.
Be who?
Kellyanne.
Kellyanne Hayes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was out too.
Cade Cunningham
out.
Yeah. We want
Sadiq Bey out.
We don't want y'all to know how we play.
Oh really?
And we play in the regular season. We just want to pull up on y'all. Yeah. Like, what up? Mm-hmm. What up, Spike?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do the wrong thing, son.
Yeah, so that happened last night. So I was enjoying that little post-game action on MSG. But meanwhile, we continue with your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It is Barton Hahn. We are brought to you by Goodyear, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. And I do get people who call that, like, before the show. Oh, can we talk some Islanders? Because, you know, they start tonight and you haven't been all over the Islanders. You should be talking about the Islanders. And I was like, you can call. You know, like people that want to, you never talk Knicks anymore. Do you call?
Pull up. Yeah, call.
Is that how you say it? Do I say pull up?
Pull up.
Oh, you want to talk that? Pull up.
Pull up. Just pull up.
All right. That's how we do it. So I give you the numbers. This is what we're doing. And that's exactly where we're going to go here because, you know, a big story in the NBA involves Ben Simmons. A big story in the NBA involves the Lakers and how that team, have you seen the Lakers in the preseason, by the way? When they do play together, they have not had much success. So, be patient.
Have you seen Westbrook shoot that broke Jalen and LeBron looking like, damn, get ready for the rebound this dude shoot. Jeez.
Doink. What's the movie?
Man.
All the old guys.
Semi-pro?
No. It's not a sports movie. Why am I doing this right? I do this to you. I'm throwing you a grenade right now.
Old guys. Okay.
It's like Dolph Lundgren and Stallone and all them.
The Expendables.
The Expendables.
We can get there. I would be your perfect like pictionary or like the those type of games. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Win, lose, draw. I'll be picking. I'll be
win, lose, and draw. Yeah, Expendables. Right. That are the Lakers. The Expendables. You know what I mean?
Who's that? I don't even know who else they can add.
Game.
I don't even know who they can add to it. Like a former like they.
Everybody's
in this.
Once you
win Chuck Norris, this is a wrap.
Yes, like Steve Austin and like it's just. I mean, where else you going?
They need Steven Seagal and well, they already had Van Damme in there.
Is Tom Selleck? Did he ever make an appearance?
Yeah,
like, can we get Magnum PI in there? Like, how many? Where? How deep are we going with this?
AJ.
But still. So there's a lot of different storylines as how much did the Hornets lose last night? Did they lose by
like 65? It was like 59-114. It was like, come on,
you
man.
Talking about throw the Luka, damn towel.
The crazy thing is Luka only had 10.
Well, he didn't play. Didn't have to play.
That's what I'm saying. So how you get blown out that much? Blown out. What the hell?
Is that a word?
Yeah. How you get blown out that much?
Yeah. So with that in mind, though, there's you know the other story, which is of course the Kyrie Irving story that we've been on it, and Kyrie goes to Instagram last night to. You know, explain himself. Well, so much has been said about him. We've done it too. And as I said, had my thoughts on it yesterday, especially after the Athletic report came out and this whole idea of him wanting to take a stance. But then when he went to Instagram and it kind of explained it, it sounded, as I mentioned before, as someone who is just, he's struggling right now. That's what I felt. He felt it just sounded conflicted. It was very meandering that he just wasn't sure how to feel about things. That he's trying to find himself in all the chaos of what the world is. And this is not easy. All of us are trying to navigate all this stuff that's happening to us here.
We get to a point where we're trying to figure out what the meaning of life is.
And I really feel like he just reached a point where almost paralyzed himself with what do I do? And if I do this, what impact will it have on other people? And it sounded like he was just trying to get a lot of people to just sympathize with him, to support him instead of criticize him. And as I said, just listen to the way he's speaking, his words. Yes, we do. Okay. and Kyrie Irving just sounding very, very conflicted, very, very confused, and clearly hurt by the reaction to him not being available to his team. And I'll add this part for now, because if you listen to this, it sounds like in due time, if not pretty soon, I think he'll be back with the Nets.
Because it's going to continue to revolve around this and that. And, yo, you're going to lose out on money. You're going to lose out on this. Like, so what? It's not about the money, baby. It's not always about the money. It's about choosing what's best for you. You think I really want to lose money? You think I really want to give up on my dream to go after a championship? You think I really just want to give up my job? You think I really just want to sit at home and not go after the things with my teammates that I've been able to grow with, to learn that it takes sacrifice in this space? Because we could be easily at home chilling with our families, but we're choosing to go out there and perform.
So, you know, again, there's been a lot going on in the world over the last several years, and athletes have been involved in it. And, you know, there's all types of ways to try to be a difference maker, which athletes have started to feel more responsible because of their place in the world, their place in society as people that young people look up to. And there is, you know, there's some sense of responsibility there, which you have to admire. And in Kyrie's place, it feels like he is trying to figure out, what am I supposed to do and how am I supposed to do it? Because I want to do something, but I don't know what. And so when he does try to take a stance and he realizes, okay, that's not being received well, and he's kind of getting caught up in it. Last year, he had some stuff as well. It just seems like there's always something going on with him.
Yeah, it's
and awesome. That's why I asked the question, when he does come back, of course his teammates will welcome back with open arms. How will the NBA community welcome him back? How will the fans welcome him back? Because this stuff continues to go on. Right, with him. Now, never mind what the causes are and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
And you also wonder, just if you're a franchise, how do you offer anything more than a one-year deal?
And this is a one-off, right? Because, okay, if he comes back from this, what if something else happens in the world?
That's what I mean. You just don't know.
He just leaves. And, like, he's not responsible enough, or he hasn't been responsible enough to kind of say, this is, hey, I'm taking a leave off. They didn't even know where the hell he was last year.
Right.
Just left.
Well, then they found out, then he had to.
But who can do that? And anybody in this world, how many people
somebody
have the
comfortable enough to know
not
that,
pull up to work?
Yeah.
And they're paying you $45 million.
That's the problem. And I think that's the disconnect, is that I think he's trying to be relatable, but it's impossible. You know, that's the struggle. It's impossible for him to be relatable because he can do things that the average person can't. He can hold out like this. Now, he just tells you there, do you think I want to do this? I don't, which tells you he's conflicted. And that's why I do expect him to be back with the team. All right, we'll go back to the calls on the Dr. Pepper call line. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Ray is from Detroit. Ray?
Come on, Ray. Don't let us down, Ray. Ray, 5, 4, 3, down, Ray!
We lost Ray. All right, how about Julio from New York? Julio.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we got you.
All right, well, I got the solution to this problem with Kyrie. This is what you do. Go back to your team, get back with your players, win your title. But at the same time, you're talking about it's not about the money. Donate the money, some of the money, get the Nets involved, get the league involved if you want to. Help out the people that are struggling. He'll look like a hero. He'll get back with his team. Problem solved.
Well, one thing about Kyrie, man, I mean, what he did during the lockout and paying, you know, the WNBA women, like, so he spends his money on
causes. He's been very involved that way. Yes,
yeah, he's
he
good
has.
That way. It's, yeah. not, it's not a lack of, it's just direct.
No, he's,
message
like
right
I said,
direction.
I think he does try to be a difference maker. I just think at times he struggles with how.
Yeah.
And he takes kind of these aggressive stances that everybody looks at him and goes, what are you doing? And he realizes, like,
wait,
is this wrong?
Back.
Like, you could just see, a little conflicted by it. That's why I've softened my stance about him. Marcus has been waiting a while to talk about the Saints. Go ahead, Marcus.
Who did? Yeah, thanks. I want to talk to Dr. Bartholomew, the defensive guy. So we're on a bye week, and we have one of the top defenses in the league, but one of the worst pass rushes in the league.
Yeah.
I need help figuring out which way we're going.
I got one for you. Trade Michael Thomas for Chandler Jones.
Oh, wait. How many wide receivers do they need there?
Hey, that Michael Thomas is
well,
amazing.
He's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And send him back Chandler Jones and send him back Kirk.
Man, you're not
Christian
doing that.
Kirk. What?
There's no way you're doing that. There's no way you're doing
Chandler
that.
Jones?
There's no.
They've been trying to get rid of Michael Thomas forever, and he's coming off. He's going to come off the injury list in a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean that makes them better. I mean, I'm just saying, like David's trying to trade or trying to figure out how to get rid of Chandler Jones. But if why not do that?
Yeah, it's interesting.
That's a hell of a transaction.
I'm not.
You need
I'm
a pass rush. All you need is a pass rush. I mean, it looks like James is doing just fine without Michael Thomas. You give him a guy like Christian Kirk, you allow somebody else to be the number one, and he can be the number two. Case closed. You know, not give him $20 million.
We'll go to Ben in Florida. Hey, Ben.
Ben, what up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
So I just wanted to lay down my piece on Sean Taylor real quick. So I'm a lifelong Washington football fan, grew up watching Sean Taylor. And to speak on behalf of our, you know, fans here, Sean Taylor is absolutely a loved player for the past couple of decades. Now, unfortunately, with Sean and his whole jersey retirement situation, from the fans, this looks like it was just kind of slapped together at the last minute. They announced it on a Thursday before the Sunday just to cover up the whole John Gruden, you know, email scandal.
It feels like that, doesn't it? I don't want to believe that. I don't want to believe that's real. Like, do you think we're that like, you know what I mean? Like Ben, that's my feeling. I want to look at them and think, please tell me that this has all along been your plan. And you just didn't announce it. Like, normally you announce the stuff start of the season
because
you want that crowd.
Sell,
yeah. That's why it was such a bizarrely timed thing. Don't tell me that you plan on doing this maybe next season and you decided, let's do it sooner because we need to provide this
cover.
Distraction and make people happy again around us. Please tell me that's not really
exactly
the plan.
But unfortunately, when you do look at the announcement, you know, it just seems very chaotic. It was kind of talked about before the season.
Yeah.
But it wasn't actually like, hey, on this day, we're going to celebrate Sean Taylor. So
yeah.
As a fan, I feel completely disrespected from this organization. We know being fans, you know, what we have to endure with the ownership. But, man, this one hurts as a fan. I'll tell you that.
Ben, thank you for that input. No, thanks a lot for that input. That was important. Shaiwanda from Alabama also wants to sound off on this.
Yes, love y'all's show.
Thank you.
One of the biggest things, and I'm just going to piggyback on what he said, they did plan it because they're honoring 100 other, or it's a total of 100 folks in this particular event, Sean Taylor being like the centerpiece. But it feels like a game of spades where they were holding the big joker till the end, and they were holding it until they needed some good publicity.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's fair to Sean Taylor's legacy.
Yeah, because those other names, you know, don't move the needle. Sean Taylor, and also the fact that they're going to retire his number, only the third player ever in their team history, right? You know, kind of, you know, I don't know if I would honor him with other people. He deserves the opportunity for his, you know, I don't know, his girlfriend at the time who was there, and his, you know, his child to be able to be there and make it about them and let them speak at halftime. I don't know.
Ryan Clark, and Ryan Clark, and thank you, Shaiwanda.
Ryan Clark tweeted this
that people are wondering. Tim Hightower reached out to me September 22nd to invite me to alumni weekend. So this is, you know, almost a month ago. This was being planned. In the text, he told me they'd be honoring Sean and his family, which I assumed was the reason why I got the invite since I hadn't been before. And the team said in a statement that we've been planning this weekend's tribute to Sean Taylor since before the start of the season in partnership with his family and our alumni weekend activities. We apologize to fans who would have liked more notice, and we'll continue to share with fans ways we will be celebrating Sean Taylor's legacy over the next month. So
okay.
They are saying, and that's why I said, like, it just doesn't, it does, it feels weird, it sounds weird, but even Ryan Clark is letting you know, as a month ago that I got invited,
maybe they
were just withholding the idea, like, it was going to be alumni weekend, but we wanted to surprise people and say, hey, we're going to do this, instead of setting it up, but it does right now
nobody's a bigger straight shooter than Ryan Clark, so if he's saying it, then I'd have to take it.
I buy it from him, right. I don't think he's certainly not making that up. All right, let's continue with the calls on the Dr. Pepper call in line. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's see. We go – Dion is from Baton Rouge. Dion.
Hey, guys, what's up? I got two things real quick. One, Alan, I would like to get him for the Red Sox and the Astros.
Ooh.
And two, Bart,
a Rocky question. I know you love Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
I never hear you talk about Creed. I would put Creed 1 up there. Probably top three Rocky movies for me. That Max Kellerman scene at the end when he's in the fight. Donnie gets up like a man possessed, man.
Yeah.
It's a great scene.
No, I rock with Creed. You know what I mean? The fact that, you know, he had to help Rocco through the cancer and all that stuff.
Amazingly
and
emotional.
And the fact, you know, Rocky's actually going to walk away from it. And now, I forget his name, the actor. It's moving my mind. But he's going to actually continue and write the stories, right? I thought they went too far with the whole Ivan Drago's son type of
fight.
That one jumped the shark.
Because
did not Clubber Lane, not Lacey
doing
his time.
Well, they wanted to bring, again, Dolph Lundgren being part of it. It just, you know, obviously that.
Mr. T's still alive?
Yeah, yeah.
He couldn't have a son and had the same haircut? I bet he's a fool. I predict something. Pain for Creed.
Dion, I appreciate you dropping that into the show.
It was good, though.
I think Creed was very well done. The second one was a little bit silly, but it still, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But the story of Creed 1 was, that was pretty powerful.
Yeah. Him finding his identity.
That's very hard to do, too. To spin off of something that classic and turn it into something where you're like, wow, I like this character now.
It's like 50 years, man.
Amazing.
And it's crazy, man, because you think about it as well. To me, one of the ones I think is underrated is the one when he fought Antonio Tarver, because it was about aging, right? And now we see some of these old guys like Mike Tyson just wanting to get in the ring so they can have the feel of competition again. You see De La Hoya wanting to fight Mayweather.
These are all exhibitions, though.
Yeah, you know? But no, you can really get hurt in these, though.
Of course you can.
Just ask Evander Holyfield, who they was like, we could never license this dude to fight nowhere. I don't care if they got those gloves that they have at the state fair.
The oversized gloves.
He can't even fight with those.
Chris is in North Carolina. Hey, Chris.
I feel bad because we had a vendor, so he'll never come on again.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Or afternoon, right? We are at 2:17 Eastern. How are you?
Yeah, I kind of have. I called to talk about the John Gruden thing.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. What do you got?
Man, I served in the military in the 82nd Airborne Division, infantry soldiers. And back in the day, because I'm old now, mm-hmm. back in the day.
No, I think we lost Chris's signal.
Oh, man. He must got one of them back.
No.
Yeah, okay, you back.
Yeah, you dropped out for a second.
No, I'm arriving. Can you hear me now?
No, yes. We can hear you. What you got?
Yeah. So anyway, you know, when you're with a bunch of guys with high testosterone that are in the field and in the combat zone and all that kind of thing, you know, you got one way you live. You have to live by the Bible. That's the only way you can live.
All right, Chris.
Hello?
Yeah, no. We completely understand. You're saying there?
Well,
his understanding.
We got led by the Bible.
But he went
through
and he wanted to share his experience with us, and
honor
we appreciate
our neighbor,
him for
right,
that.
And treat your brother with respect and dignity. Yeah,
right, of course, yeah, completely understand. How about Dan in Missouri? Dan, I like going around the country.
Hello.
Like this.
What's up,
how
Dan?
We doing, Dan? What do you got?
Yeah, am I on?
Yes, you are, Dan. Yeah,
one comment before I get into my question about my Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bart has got to be the funniest guy on radio.
I would definitely co-sign that. I would co-sign that.
I'm the Rodney Dangerfield. I get no
respect. I mean, I think he should get even seriously think about getting into stand-up comedy.
Bart should be a character in, I think, AEW and WWE should be fighting over the rights to have him as a character, because
I want to join James Harrison in Heels. It's a new series
about
wrestling. Yeah, I want to act like I'm wrestling. I don't actually want to actually blow my knees out.
Because you'd be a guy that would set an entire arena off by just being such a bad guy.
I love being the heel.
Yeah, it'd be hilarious. What's your Cowboys question, Dan?
Yeah, lifelong Cowboy fan, and you know what worries me, and you know I'm old enough to know I can't get too excited about anything, and and there's a lot of truth to over the years where, you know, there's a lot of hype being built up, and then, you know, they're one and done in the playoffs or they can't get in. So you know, I'm still kind of worried about their secondary. I know they're scoring a lot of points, but
a lot of turnovers
now. I'm still.
See, you sound like it's Dan. This is the classic Cowboys fan. There's two versions of you, Dan. There's two versions of fans. One version is Dan, where they know exactly the things that everybody else warns them about. Like you heard Amari Cooper, right? What did he say? Hey, Super we should Bowl. Start thinking Super Bowl. And you're like hey, guys like Dan are going, oh, great.
That's a wrap.
You just jinxed it. That's it. I love it, Dan. Thank you.
They just have to get
The other fans that go, 4-1, baby, Super Bowl, baby. And you're just looking at them going, you realize
have
what
you
you're doing,
Micah
right?
Have you seen Micah Parsons? Have you seen him?
Like, so the hype, like, but Bart, is it real, though? Should we start looking at the Cowboys and saying, no, they should be in the conversation. They have a shot.
It's a couple of teams. If you look at them, okay, their offense is just as good as the Chiefs. Their defense is better, right? So you can, of course, so if the Chiefs can believe that they can do it, then they can. But the problem is, like, you're doing it too early, and it's not going to be easy. And, like, when you talk about it, we're so used to people having to go through a little pain before they get a little joy. And, like, you talk about it, usually you go to the AFC Championship or you go to the divisional round, you lose a tough one. Like, it seems like Buffalo has suffered enough, right? They've gone right there. They've been right at the precipice, and they lost, right? They've been right there, lost to Kansas City, can figure out how to beat them. Now, you know, they overcome, and then mm-hmm. they win a championship. They have their window, and then now they're the chase, and they don't know how to handle. That's kind of usually how it goes. But every once in a while, you have outliers, right? When you think about the outliers, you know, from 0 to 100, you think about the Seattle Seahawks, who went 0 to 100.
Yeah.
You think about Patrick Mahomes. He went 0 to 100. He didn't have to suffer. He came in his second year.
I mean, wasn't that the history of the Chiefs?
Yeah, the history of the Chiefs.
The Chiefs always let you down.
They hadn't won a playoff game, I believe, like, in 20 years before they won.
So
that
could
one,
this be? Could the
and, they just and, have to get the first one?
And
if
you said that about the Cowboys. You said about the Cowboys, like, oh, a game like the Giants. That's a game that you. That's the game they lose.
Well, Danny Dimes got hurt, so this is the game. So this is the trap game. Bill Belichick sitting down there making it ugly. A rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
Death by 1,000 paper cuts. This is the one that they'd be like, man, how they lose to
we
them? Like, we
should
have blew them out.
Yeah, we shall see. We love going around the country. It's a lot of fun going around the country. All the calls. We'll continue that. 888-SAY-ESPN.
Thank you guys for listening.
729-3776. But coming up, Bart Scott told Buster Olney he lost money on Buster Olney's prediction for the World Series. Coming up next, Doug Kazarian is going to help us get Bart's money back. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
What's your prediction for the fight, then?
Prediction?
Yes, prediction.
Pain.
GJ and Max.
Good morning. I listen to you guys every single morning.
Covering the biggest stories with the best guests and plenty of opinions.
I love listening to you guys. I love the banter. I love the conversation. And there's some life every single morning.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. So if you're following along at the beginning of the show, we told you about how Marquise Hollywood Brown of the Ravens replied to something that someone posted where Bart was talking about how Lamar Jackson is the best quarterback in the NFL based on the fact that he has other quarterbacks have better weapons than he does. And someone made sure that Marquise Brown saw it, and he replied, his name is Bart, with laughing emojis. And so Bart,
that's a sore spot for me. I got teased as a kid.
So Bart at the beginning of the show pulled out the ether, and then we got a clip of it. And I thought Don't you think it's pretty like a passive-aggressive way that don't just like create your own post and at him, just drop it in the replies. So that's where it is now, so you can go ahead and see it there if you missed it.
I got a whole squad behind me, son. You don't want to mess with me. I can make a highlight tape of all your 75 drops.
It was aggressive. Let's leave it at that. Bart also told Buster Olney that he cost him money with his World Series prediction. So we bring in Doug Kazarian of Daily Wager to help Bart make his money back. And Doug joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. How are we doing, Doug?
Doing well, fellas. I just love you throwing your co-host under the bus and throwing him to the wolves, more I guess is a better analogy.
Well, how's that?
He threw a lion to the wolves.
Yeah.
Yeah, just saying he's the guy you need to come for. He's the man right here. This is his, this is his phone.
It was tremendous.
And Alan took my phone. He pressed in.
Yeah,
so
he's handing me the phone. Like, here, do it for me. I'm like, all right. Well, I'm the guy that, like Herm said, don't press send. No, I'm going to press send.
Yeah, I just learned how to return.
Yeah, exactly.
I just learned how to send my own original email.
It is really, actually, it's amazing. The worst part was, though, Doug, is that I got to see his photos because I had to go to the photo album to find the video. There's some things I can't unsee now, and I need a hug. But let's move on. So we got Bucks Eagles tonight in Philly. It's by because Bucks is still, it's still Bucks laying 7, right? Is that still the line?
6.5 or 7.
Okay.
The public is coming in on the Bucks, but like the smart money, so to speak, is on the underdog here, the home dog. And look, obviously the Bucks are very, very talented for sure, right? We know that. But this is not the same team we saw in the Super Bowl, particularly on defense. They're not getting to the quarterback. Their sack rate's one of the bottom, I want to say 5 in the NFL, but also the secondary just banged up. They just got Richard Sherman off the scrap heap. So this is not a stout defense that we saw in the Super Bowl. They've been giving up points, and they have yet to cover on the road. So it's a lot to ask. Even against a Philly team that's not that great, I still think it's too big of a number here.
One thing we've been talking about throughout the show, Doug, is that, you know, like the different quarterbacks, and as with this whole debate with Hollywood Brown was basically Bart saying, you know, Patrick Mahomes, he doesn't necessarily, you can't put him as the best quarterback this year. He says Lamar Jackson. We had Jim Kelly on earlier. He's like, I would put Josh Allen in that conversation. You know, there's different quarterbacks you can talk about as being great, and there's a lot of parity all of a sudden in the league. Do you remember a more wide open time for the NFL than right now?
Absolutely not. And that's kind of the beauty of betting when we talk about in terms of throwing the widest net and the masses and why it's interesting from a sports kind of topic. It's just another way to create a conversation about sports. And the MVP betting odds, I don't remember this late in the season. I know we're only through 5 weeks, but still, this time last year, we kind of knew the handful of guys tops that could win MVP. I just think in this league that is just known for parity, we have so many quarterbacks with legitimate cases. Now, obviously, success will start to take shape and help shape that MVP race because 13 of the last 14 MVPs have been quarterbacks. 11 of those 13 have been quarterbacks of a 1 or a 2 seed. So obviously all these guys aren't going to remain in the hunt, but you know, we've seen outlier scenarios. We saw Devontae Smith win the Heisman as a wide receiver. We saw Russell Westbrook win the NBA MVP as a 6 seed in the West. So maybe it is a situation where we see a 4 or 5 seed like Lamar Jackson, who does so much. So even if they don't get the 1 or the 2 seed, these guys are in the conversation, but yeah, I mean, that's after Russell Wilson got hurt. So we had so many guys still in the convo. And I personally, I can't see how you can make a wager just given the one-way betting market, we like to say. You can only bet one direction, right? You can only bet on a guy that wins the MVP. There's just so many good candidates.
So help me win my money back, right? So tell me this then. two things I want to ask you so I can place a bet. Cardinals, Browns, and Kyler
Murray.
Especially
with the news of the Cardinals right now.
And Kyler Murray versus Baker Mayfield. What say you, MVP candidate?
Well, we all want to say it's Kyler versus Baker, but it's really the Browns' rushing game against an Arizona defense that has struggled against the run at times and is going to be without Chandler Jones. What's interesting about this game is the over-under has crashed about 5-6 points because wind is expected in the forecast. Now, snow and rain don't really impact an over-under. It's wind. And as you know, Bart, like that changes everything with the quarterback's timing and throwing, it more so than bad weather. In fact, bad weather sometimes leads to overs because the defense can't get footing on the ground where the offense knows where the play is going. So it's going to be a heavy run game, you would think. I personally am only betting on Cleveland team total over 26.5. I think Kyler Murray's so good. I don't want to have to also trust the Browns defense to stop him. He's made plays. They're undefeated, obviously. So I just think the Browns are going to be able to score at will because of that rushing attack. I actually think it's a really good spot to back Cleveland. I know Sharp Money came in on -2.5. They did get a little buyback on Sharp Money +3, but the public's on the +3. I like the favorite here.
Doug Kazarian joining us right now from Daily Wager on the Goodyear Hotline. We've got a Game 5 tonight in Major League Baseball. You like anything with Dodgers-Giants tonight?
Well, a little bit of a curveball, pun intended, the last about 30 minutes or so. Looks like Knebel's going to start for the Dodgers, not Urias.
Oh, and fastball, is it because he's a fastball pitcher and they hit the fastball?
Well, I wonder if it's he's a righty, Urias is a lefty, so maybe getting the righty-on-righty matchups at the top of the lineup for the Giants and sort of just buying yourself an inning, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I mean, Urias has been great, really solid, not just all season, but his numbers against the Giants are solid, but maybe Dave Roberts wants to throw, just mix it up a little bit and try to face a lineup that's suited for Urias, the lefty, and get him on a righty sort of situation, or maybe just seeing those fastballs that Knebel can bring and the pitches and then compare it to the high fastballs that Urias brings. But we're not expecting a high-scoring game. 6.5 is your over-under. First 5 innings is 3.5. Gabe Kapler showed in the last game he's willing to go to the bullpen early. I believe he went in the 3rd inning, if I'm not mistaken. So all hands on deck of this elimination game. Roberts would not even rule out Scherzer being able to come in and pitch an inning of relief. But get this, guys. 87 straight meetings between the Dodgers and Giants. L.A. has been favored. This one is a coin flip, though.
Wow.
-05 each side. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Giants certainly have been that good, and this is that ultimate now game of a short series. Next time we talk to you, the NBA season will already be underway, and over-unders is something everybody always loves to look at and talk about. And of all the over-unders that I've seen, win totals in the NBA, the one that really catches my attention, and it does obviously because of my connection with the team, but also just because it's interesting to me, is the Knicks at 41.5. You hammer that over?
Well, it's come down from 43. Look, there's no way I would bet the under, because this team, obviously, Thibodeau, coach of the year, squeezes every last drop out of this team. I will say they overachieved a lot. We saw them come back to earth a little bit in the postseason, especially Julius Randle.
Yeah.
But that's different. That's when other teams are sort of amped up. The beauty of Thibodeau is he gets the guys in the regular season to kind of treat it like a playoff game every night in, night out. So I do lean to the over here, but I will say the East is much more competitive than people realize. And then in past years, the East is going to have 8 playoff teams that are all above 500. That was not the case a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. So I think the floor of the Eastern Conference has come up a little bit, so there won't be as many sort of nights off, but the Knicks never take a night off. So asking them to be above 500, I think, is a fair ask. Not my favorite play, but there's no way I would bet under for sure.
Okay, it's that. Because I agree with you. It's when they play the bad teams or the teams that aren't well-coached or the teams that are having issues, they'll always beat those teams. And that's more than half your schedule a lot of the time throughout the NBA. All right, so what do you got for us this weekend? What do you like?
All right, so one game sticks out to me in college, and that's Pitt. Pitt is playing Virginia Tech at Lane Stadium. Now, not a night game where it'll be rocking in Blacksburg,
right?
But I just think the Hokies coming off an emotional game, gut-wrenching loss. I mean, they were up 8 late against Notre Dame, and then they blow the game. For whatever it's worth, who's ever played Notre Dame this year, they've not covered the following week. So I don't know if the Irish just get everyone amped up and whatever narrative you want to create. But I do like this Pitt offense a lot. Their quarterback's run now. Their defense is not as strong, but I just don't think the Hokies offense is good enough to really exploit that Pitt defense. So if you can bet Pitt team total, I would do the Pitt team total over 30.5, something around there. That, I think, is the safest bet. But if not, I would take the -5. The numbers come up a little bit. So that's my favorite play. It's a really tough card in the NFL, to 9 road favorites starting tonight. So it's just one of those – every week has sort of a different narrative. We talk about some weeks are really conducive to teasers, 6-point teasers. We have a lot of quote-unquote good teams laying somewhat short numbers. Yes, the Rams are big road favorites. Chiefs are laying 6.5. But everyone else is 4.5 or lower. So you got the Bears, the Bengals, all these teams. But one team that sticks out, I do like the Bengals -3.5. Some sharp money moved this up from 3 to 3.5. I think Detroit's going to surprise some people. They already have, with some nice covers. They're going to get those wins. I just don't think it's this weekend. They're pretty banged up since he's kind of on a mission, so to speak. So I don't think they're going to look past the Lions. But I do like Cincy here in this situational spot. That's one team that stands out. But there's some really tough, like, road favorites, like Mike McCarthy's laying 4 points or 3.5 at Belichick. I never thought I'd say that, but really intriguing matchups this weekend in terms of the road favorites in the NFL.
Yeah, that's the one you watch late if there's clock management going on. You know which side of the field is going to win that battle, no doubt about it. Doug, Bart took all the notes, so hopefully he will make some of that money back. Great to talk to you as always.
If not, I'll send
you too, fellas. Enjoy it.
All right. Doug Kazarian again. You can see him on Daily Wager. So, as you mentioned, we do get Week 6 kicking off tonight with the Eagles and the Bucks. Here's the question. Is it possible the greatest of all time, the GOAT, the best quarterback, Tom Brady, is having his greatest season yet? We'll give you a stat that suggests he could. Next, Bart and Han, ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. So we get Week 6 tonight, Bart Scott, Bucks and Eagles. Tom Brady has a sore thumb, but he said it shouldn't be a problem. Right? It should be all right.
He threw 5 touchdowns for the last week.
Tell me about it. So he's 44. And, you know, you were saying today on Get Up, you said yesterday on First Take that Patrick Mahomes is not the best quarterback in the league this year, that it's Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
Okay, and I pushed back saying if the GOAT is still playing,
yeah,
how could you be the greatest of all time and not be the best in the league? Tom Brady, uh-huh. and this is why I say it. He is – you could put him in the MVP conversation. He's on pace. I know we're only – what are we, 4 weeks going into the fifth – six? No, we're 5 weeks in going into the sixth, yeah. I should say.
For 6,000 yards.
He is on pace for 6,000 yards.
Yeah.
I know we're having a 17 – I get it, but we knew records are going to go down, but still –
but okay,
it's remarkable the season he's having.
Okay, but who's only 200 yards behind him throwing?
Is it Justin Herbert?
Lamar Jackson.
Oh, what?
He's only 200 yards behind him throwing.
Yeah, you're right.
Right.
That is
so
amazing.
He's also fourth in rushing.
Yeah.
And guess what? He's not throwing to Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, Godwin, Gronk, Brake, OJ the Juice Man.
Okay, but he's still behind him. All I'm saying. And he's 44. He's 20 years younger.
But I'm
it's
just
a 20-year difference.
But now you understand what I'm saying, though?
Lamar
Jackson ain't doing it with any of those type of players.
Okay. No, and you've made that point abundantly clear. So tonight again, Eagles-Bucks. it starts Week 6. You have that. And don't forget, of course, Game 5, Dodgers-Giants.
Bet on the Dodgers.
I thought you were going to do it again.
No, bet on the Dodgers because Buster told me to take the Dodgers.
Bet on the Dodgers because he's taking the Giants.
No, he took.
Did we forget? Well, if you forgot. Check the podcast. Yes. Anywhere you get your podcast, just go find it, Bart and Han, and subscribe. So you get that game at Game 5. That'll be thrilling. You get Islanders and the Hurricanes tonight, baby. Yes, let's do that hockey as that season begins. The Red Wings?
Gordie Howe!
Yeah, never mind Gordie Howe. Pulak, Pelech, 8 years
each. He really
each.
Got 1,600.
It's going to be awesome,
it's just
man.
Like Deacon Jones.
I need you to become an Islanders
sacks.
Fan. No, I want you to become an Islanders fan this
I'm
year. They're going to win the cup.
I'm going to wear the green suit.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Han, the podcast.